Good evening. My name's Paul Edwards, and I'm in Miami, Florida, and I'd like to welcome everybody to this evening's rather unusual edition of Tuesday Topics. I'd like to begin by thanking Steve Bauer for his work, not only recording tonight, but also as our editor-in-chief. Our producer, Brian Charlson, is not with us this evening. He's wandering the streets of Orlando at the Asia Conference, acquiring all sorts of new guests for us, as well as all sorts of information on the latest access technology. So, hope you're having fun, Brian. I'd like also to thank George Byes, who is the person behind the software that we're using from Talking Communities. George, the software truly does make all sorts of things possible, and we truly appreciate your making it available. Tuesday Topics is one of those programs that depends very much for its effectiveness on the guests that we invite and their willingness to turn up and be recorded. A guest who we had planned for this evening, in fact, has proven unwilling to turn up, and so consequently, we're recording a Tuesday Topics tonight that's going to be a little bit different. We actually have a nice roster of folks, some of whom are new to Tuesday Topics and some of whom are kind of old-timers. And it occurred to me that it might be fun to do a show that would do three or four things. The first thing I thought it would be fun to do is to get a little bit of an idea of the kinds of folks who are prepared to lurk and listen to Tuesday Topics. I think that a lot of our listeners would like to know a little bit more about Tuesday Topics. One of the things you can do with the software that Talking Communities provides is text message. And one of the things that you'll hear me doing as the evening wears on is talking about text messaging. One of the people who is an old-timer to Tuesday Topics, who is in fact from Halifax, Nova Scotia, up in Canada, just sent us a text message which said, "Old-timer? LOL," i.e. laugh out loud, for those of you who are not into internet jargon. So it might be fun, as I suggested a few minutes ago, to begin by going around and getting just an idea of who listens and where they're from and what they do when they're not listening to Tuesday Topics. So I think that what we will actually do is pick on the perpetrator first. So, Mr. Timothy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and about what's going on in Halifax, Nova Scotia?
This is Timothy here from Halifax, Nova Scotia. I lived in Halifax for all of my life. I was born here. I'm 31, or actually 32 to be exact. I am currently unemployed, looking for a volunteer position, possibly a Project 50 in the works, so that I can get some extra cash. That's basically it for me.
My name is Trevor Peastrew. I live in St. Louis, Missouri. For the moment, I'm 31 years old, and I've spent much of my adulthood living in a lot of interesting places. I've lived in a lot of places in the United States where life is really lived on its edge. I've lived everywhere from an Indian reservation in South Dakota to Portland, Oregon. I've spent time in Texas and California. I'm born and raised in Michigan, and now I live here. I am also unemployed, but have a huge desire to be a contributing member of society and to try to find something that maximizes my abilities and my potential. I came from an interesting background. My dad is a clinical psychologist and my mom is a Presbyterian pastor. And that taught me a lot about how to deal with people and how to understand where they're coming from. When I'm not listening to Tuesday Topics, I often do a little bit of singing. I'm an acoustic guitarist and singer who has lately been attempting to pick up the piano. I haven't played in a number of years, but I'm finding that it's quite a stress reliever for myself. And essentially, that is me in about 30 seconds.
This is Johnny J, and I know my Jaws is in the background talking there. And Denver, this is what, as far as like one of the DJs on ACB Radio, interactive Friday mornings and Sunday evenings, 5 to 7 UTC time. And I book bands here in Colorado, bands and artists, and we do like monthly shows, as well as, and that's how I get a lot of my money, is by booking the shows and charging the artists so much money to book those shows. And then I do a TV show here as well, where we showcase local artists, and sometimes from time to time I make money off of that, and I run a nonprofit, and when we every so often we'll land a grant, and that'll pay for our salaries, and so this is my first time listening to this program and participating in this program, and I have some ideas about possible guests to not only be interesting, like as far as topics, but bring awareness of what we're doing here further out there into the sighted community.
Hello, this is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. I am 65 years old. I've been retired for 10 years. Enjoy it. And I went to the Michigan School for the Blind from 1947 through 1960 when I graduated. And then for a while I was at a workshop in Saginaw for about 13 weeks. And then I decided that I'd like to try piano tuning. I didn't make a lot of money at that, so I decided to take some adult evening classes at a local high school and learn dictaphone typing, general transcription. So I've taken a couple of classes in that, a couple of courses in it. And then I did some, the state gave me a work evaluation. And then after that, I took some courses from the Hadley School of the Blind from Winnetka in business English and letter writing. And then also, after that, I went to the rehab center in Kalamazoo for a little over a year. And then for a time, I was trying to get my counselor to help me find something else. And then in 1975, I went to Flint for some more business training and general transcription and things of that nature. They had medical and legal. I tried to see what legal would be like, but that seems to me a bit difficult. And I was interested in maybe trying out medical, but I decided that general was enough for me, so I then took a job. I took a civil service test and passed, and took a job with the state of Michigan. And I worked there from 1978 through 1995. And I was a dictaphone typist. That was, well, clerk typist still for. And then after a while, they didn't have that much work for me, so I did other duties like general clerk, clerical duties, and I became. In 1984, I worked in what they call the tape library. I cleaned tapes for the computers, and where they scrape off excess dirt and iron oxide. And then I did that. They used those 10-inch reels. And then they got to the place where they didn't have that kind of work for me, so they said there wouldn't be any need for tape cleaners. So I thought I'd take early retirement because I was eligible at 55. So I thought I'd rather do that than take the chance on getting laid off and maybe get hired for something else. But I think someone in their 50s is hard to find something else. But I've enjoyed my retirement. I got a computer, and I'd like to do things with that, learn as much as I can. And that's what I'm doing when I'm not doing Tuesday topics. I get involved with the chats and some of the email lists that I'm on. Involved with like the ACB Friends and PC Audio and others. So anyway, that's what I do.
Hi, this is Cheryl Edwards, and I am in Miami, Florida. I am a stay-at-home mom. I have a 10-year-old and a 18, she turned 18, year old. My 18-year-old is married now and back in Washington State. And my 10-year-old is with me and Paul, and we homeschool. I love creativity, and that comes out in a lot of different ways. I am a musician, play the piano and keyboard, flute, and enjoy percussion a lot, not the trap set sort, but more conga, hand, finger drums, that sort of thing. Enjoy playing with the kalimba a little bit. Need some more work on that. I enjoy knitting and crocheting, all kinds of outdoor things. I like to go for walks and swim and tandem bike. I've got these really cool bikes out. If anybody has ever has the opportunity to avail themselves of these things, they're called safari cycles. And I was first introduced to it at the zoo. No, they didn't find me there at home. I went to visit. Anyway, and the safari cycles are sort of shaped like an old-fashioned car. They have four wheels on them, and they're covered. And they come in two sizes, small and large. And you can fit three in the small and six in the large, although the pedals are for four in the large and two in the small. And so, you know, you can fit a bunch of people in there and go tootling all over the place. And they're just really a lot of fun. So kind of a pretty penny to buy if you wanted one in your driveway. But they are pretty cool. I enjoy cooking, making breads, the computer. I love to write. Don't get enough time to do that. And I enjoy singing, writing music, and so there you have it.
This is Terry Lynn Pomeroy. I live in Centerville, Utah. It's about 15 miles north of Salt Lake. I was a single mom of five kids. I guess I still am a single mom of five kids, but now they're all grown-ups. At least they think so. I'm an animal person. And I'm kind of sad today because my 9-year-old guide dog just died this morning of cancer. She died in surgery. They didn't realize that they didn't realize how widespread it was, and they took her into surgery hoping to be able to remove one tumor, and found out that it had spread to her liver, etc. And anyway, she died without coming out of the anesthesia. But I love all kinds of animals, from, you know, meerkats to honey bears. What I do for a living right now, I'm working for the Utah Council of the Blind. We went to AmeriCorps and got positions for two VISTA workers, which is Volunteers in Service to America. And so I'm one of our VISTA workers, and it's great because I get to spend my days doing nothing but working for blind people. And it's, in a way, it's a challenge because we're kind of creating the job as we go because there are no guidelines for it. But it's neat because all of the things that I want to do for blind people, I mean, the sky's kind of the limit. And so I've got a lot of exciting ideas. If I can bring some of them off, it will be really neat.
Paul's having some computer trouble again. So is there somebody else that would like to go ahead and say something who has not yet, especially those who lurk around and are kind of shy?
My name is Elizabeth Bowden. I'm a technology instructor for the Florida Institute of Rehabilitation Education in Tallahassee, Florida. I sure do wish I could have gone to Orlando, but we were in the process, and we still are, of setting up a computer lab, so I figured I needed to stay here. When I'm not at work, I like to... I play guitar, so I like to do that. I like to read. One day we'll find a bike for me and my husband. We had a tandem bike, and he wrecked on it, so he'll probably never ride it again. And so I would like to get back into doing that. Sometimes we walk, and we also have a treadmill that we play on. I also play with computers sometimes to figure out new things that the people that I'm teaching would like to learn.
Well, it appears as though I'm back.
Boy, you guys are really good. I was very impressed with the fact that everybody just kind of went through and did their thing. Thanks, everyone, for telling us a bit about who you are. And I think the next thing it might be interesting to explore, if people would like to think about this for a little while, is what sorts of Tuesday topics do you think might be good things for us to look at down the road? Now, I know some of you haven't been here a lot, so you may not know all of the topics we covered, but I also want to give folks my email address, which is edwpaul@comcast.net. And if you have some specific ideas for Tuesday topics that you think would be appropriate, please feel free to send me a note, and I'll be glad to give some consideration to those. If you can also tie a guest with a phone number to that Tuesday topic, that would be even nicer. That would certainly make my life a little bit easier. But for the moment, what are Tuesday topics that you don't think we've done yet and that you think would be a good idea? Elizabeth, you were talking about perhaps doing a topic on the new talking books. Why don't you expand a little bit more on that so that we have a better idea of what it is that you're particularly interested in us talking about?
Well, because I'm on the beta tester of the new download project, so by 2008 they're supposed to have the new format, which is digital, which is very nice. And I thought it would be good, you know, if we did a, you know, toward the later part of the year, maybe like an introduction and, you know, what they're going to be like and things like that.
Are you actually using the machines, or are you just using downloaded magazines or downloaded books, or which portion of the project are you involved in, Liz?
I'm doing downloaded magazines and downloaded books from the webpage, but they have not released the prototype machines that will be given out to most patrons. Right now I'm using a Victor Reader, and I download them onto a little chip or onto a CD, which is a lot smaller than what they're going to, you know, mail to people.
Yep, cool. Excellent. I think that's a wonderful idea for a topic. If for the moment we could avoid Melody and Terry Lynn, who else might have an idea for a Tuesday topic we could consider?
This is Trevor from St. Louis, Paul, and I'm not sure how you would characterize this in the sense that I don't know if anything can be done by just simply discussing this, but it is something that has really come to the forefront of my attention in the last few years. I remember even 10 years ago how people seemed much more willing to extend themselves, societally speaking. We who are blind people oftentimes must rely on others for things that we need, services or help with certain tasks that really might benefit us because we have to do them. And I have found that in the last number of years, the number of people that are willing to volunteer to help those of us that might need a little bit of extra aid in our lives has steadily fallen and steadily decreased. And I guess a good topic, in my opinion, would involve trying to figure out how best we can approach the sighted world without sounding as if we are having to beg for the aid that we so desperately need for a lot of little things in life. Aid with being able to read one's mail. I know that scanner technology is available, but some of us don't exactly have the kind of money to be able to buy Open Book or Kurzweil or any of these other tools. And there is nothing like the efficiency of a sighted person to help you read your mail that a scanner will never compensate for. And so I guess my question is, how do we best implore the world to aid us in some of these endeavors? I know that's a very broad topic, but maybe we can trim it down into something a bit more specific as time goes by.
It's a good idea, Trevor. Thanks. It's actually a topic we've looked at in the dim and distant past of Tuesday topics, but it's certainly one that could come up again. And one of the questions that actually comes up is, should we do that? Or is it more appropriate for blind folks to actually find some way of creating cooperatives or even heresy of all heresies, actually paying folks to do some of the work that we need to get done? So it is a really cool topic, and I think it's one we can certainly put on our list. Other ideas?
I don't know if anybody has or know about Craigslist, C-R-A-I-G, Craigslist. But I have used that to get volunteers to come in to read for me, and I just post a little ad saying that I'm looking for a volunteer reader, and I think they have a Craigslist in every city and town because you could pick the city and state that you're in. Also, and as far as like a topic, and sorry for the jaws going on like that. How possible would it be to get the program directors of XM and Sirius to come in and talk about making this program or other programs on ACB accessible through their airwaves? Because I know they just replaced one of the channels, which was the E-News, which is just shows about actors and actresses, which is a more of a visual with the Jamie Foxx radio network. And they have a few other networks like that that are just, they already have it on AM, so they're just taking up space. And I was just wondering, like, if we just get a dialogue going with them, perhaps we could add this kind of format to one of their channels.
Gosh, that's interesting, Johnny. I thought you were actually going to talk about... by the way, folks, do remember to say who you are and where you're from. That was Johnny from Denver, and I thought you were going to say that you wanted these guys to come on and talk about the accessibility of XM Radio, which would certainly be interesting because it's getting more and more inaccessible as new receivers emerge and as new abilities are added to XM radios. It's actually getting harder and harder for those of us who actually use radios of various kinds, satellite radios. I think your other point, though, your point about how do we get information about blindness and forums like this one to a broader audience is certainly a worthwhile question. And it's one that we ought to be able to begin to work on. If you think about it, there are radio reading services that have web pages that we could certainly link to if we got our stuff up there. There are radio reading services that could actually make a decision to broadcast our stuff live. There are a whole range of options that are actually out there. So it probably is a worthwhile topic. I guess I would divide it into two. One, satellite radio, the future imperfect and future sort of ponderable, and then how to expand what we're doing with Tuesday Topics and other ACB radio programs to a broader audience of blind folks who may not have access to computers.
That sounds like a great idea, actually. I've heard that some shows are broadcast on radio reading services. I think that Jonathan Mosen said that Blind Line used to be, and then I think that one of those shows where they talk about travel and stuff like that, that was, I think that accessibility has been discussed, but I think that more could be done about making things like this, XM and all them accessible, or any products that, like Panasonic was coming out with a accessible DVD recorder, but I haven't heard any more about it lately. I have emailed the person who was involved with that, but I think we need something like that, an accessible DVD player, an accessible DVR or something like that, like the TiVos and things like that. A friend of mine uses TiVo, but I don't really know. She has a Humax DVD recorder with DVR, but the way it's set up with TiVo, I mean, I guess probably you need a home network, but you type in the shows that you want to record. It's probably like some of the other things, but then it'll set it up on your TiVo. That would be a nice thing that I'd be interested in getting if the place where you can set it up is accessible, you know, I mean, screen reader friendly and all that kind of thing. That would be great to do. And another thing, like accessibility in general, like we've done some about the accessible currency issue, and maybe more might need to be done on that, how the progress comes along with regard to accessible currency, you know, so that we can have the same opportunities that other countries have in making their bills accessible, so we can tell one from the other, instead of having to have ask somebody whether this is a 5 or 10 or 20.
I hope that, this is Trevor again, I hope that accessible currency does become a viable force in our society. I wish there was a way to make credit card transactions a bit more accessible to those of us, because oftentimes I don't remember the last time I carried cash. I just have never carried it most of the time. I pay for just about everything I have with a debit card. And it's unfortunate that some of these credit card companies can't be held to account to make these transactions a bit more accessible than they are. Because when an amount's typed into a cash register, you have no guarantee that the amount that they typed in is the amount that you wished them to charge. Now, I fortunately have never been ripped off, but there's always a first time, and I don't wish to have that ever happen.
Johnny from Denver, I was thinking, like, if every time we have these topics, if we could invite someone high up or in between who's sighted in on these conversations, because it's great that we have these conversations between ourselves, but if we can always make sure that we invite a sighted person that is in that line of work to help carry the message beyond us insiders here, and that's what I was talking about with the Sirius and the XM. I mean, we could talk about it amongst ourselves, but unless somebody there hears our conversation, then it just might just stay amongst ourselves.
I also think that would be a good idea, you know, to have input from the sighted world on a lot of this thing, getting sighted guests to appear, either by phone or in the chat some way. Another thing, a friend from St. Louis was mentioning about the credit card. Well, I'm trying to get started with online banking, and I think that we need probably we could use something informational about that, like what kind of software to use. Like, I thought my bank would be more accessible, and it is. It's 508 compliant, but the thing is, I go there and I get this graphic pixel GIF, G-I-F. I mean, you don't read anything, it just says graphic, and that is going to make it a little bit hard for me to do transactions on there. So I'm going to have to call the bank again, see if they've made any progress. Somebody said that they had a JAWS demo, and they probably, thing is, they make, I don't know why they, a lot of these things have a lot of graphics. I mean, everything is more for the seeing public, but have a discussion about Quicken or something like that, what kind of software that people use to do online banking, if blind people do that.
Thanks, Gary. I think credit cards are an interesting exercise. It would be interesting to know what we would regard as an accessible credit card transaction. It seems to me that there are a lot of us who wouldn't particularly want, as we're standing in line at the grocery store, to have the cash register say something like, "Paul Edwards, your bill is $247.97, plus $32 for beer and $64 for cigarettes. Thank you." And I'm wondering what we really want, and maybe that's one of the things that we need to explore. Clearly, credit card companies have actually done a pretty good job, led by some attorneys, Linda Dardarian and some others in California, have done a much better job of making their websites accessible and usable, so that most of the time, within 12 to 16 hours, it's actually possible to check on transactions that you've made online with credit card companies. And so that may be a direction that we want to go more. And I think that maybe what the issue is not so much an issue of how do we create options, but how do we encourage people who are blind to use those options? And that may be a topic. How do we get more blind people to do online banking? Gary's bank may not be accessible, but again, there are certainly an awful lot of banks that are. We do online banking virtually every week with our bank, and it actually is extremely accessible. There are very few things that we need to know that we can't find out, and that, with the combination of the telephone, makes banking and financial transactions for us actually pretty accessible. Other ideas?
This is Johnny from Denver. U.S. Bank is very accessible for me because I do my banking online, and I hear that Wells Fargo is stepping up to the plate even more than U.S. Bank, so maybe we can just get a list of the banks that are and just encourage the other ones to follow along.
Some of those lists are already out there, Johnny. Bank of America is another one that's actually done a pretty good job of becoming more widely accessible.
Yeah, I didn't know when to come in about telling about yourself and stuff, so I didn't. But I'd like to do some stuff on parenting because I'm raising my grandson. I did raise my two daughters, and they're all grown, but now I'm raising my grandson. So I'm a nana, and I'm a mom. I'm a grandma and a mom.
That's actually very cool. Parenting is really an interesting topic. We relatively recently have actually done a couple of shows on parenting, so it probably won't come around too quickly, but we'll certainly put it in the queue again, because I think there are always some interesting new things to learn about parenting. Other thoughts? And by the way, you did come through loud and clear that time, Melody. Thanks very much.
Well, see, one thing to add about the other... I think we did something about online transactions, and I think Paul had said that a lot of people, for some reason, are afraid to try it, and this is sort of something new for me, and so I'm trying to get involved with it, and I use debit cards now. I've had a savings account, but I also have a checking and things like that. You have to know a password. I mean, my bank has done pretty well, but the online portion, like, calling them is fine, and I go to the bank, and they help me pretty well. But the online portion isn't quite up to par yet, I don't think. But I've heard that a lot of people use Quicken. I don't know. Does that seem to be accessible to blind folks, Paul?
Paul, good evening. Steve Bauer. Thought I'd pop in here regarding online banking and that type of thing, since I happen to work for a bank. And actually am in the operations and technology division. And sadly, our online banking page is not accessible. They tell me that sometime in the first quarter, our mainframe provider, which is up in Milwaukee, and I'm in Wichita, Kansas, they are going to be doing a big upgrade, and then supposedly it will become accessible. I'm not holding my breath. The one part that I'm involved in quite heavily, and it's kind of interesting, is the IVR or VRU, whatever term you want to use, automated telephone banking line, where you call in and via your touch tone phone, you enter your account number and you can hear your transactions and that type of thing. And I've done all the recordings on our current system. I'm in the process of doing all of the recordings again for a completely new system that's going to go in later this year. And that is something that is accessible and very timely and will help you track all of your transactions, especially if you use a credit card a lot. You can, most banks anyway, have it by the telephone dial-in and get that information that you want and need to make sure your account is balancing correctly.
I was wondering, with our RTD, which is our transit system here in Denver, this is Johnny from Denver, they made the new drivers and trainees stand at bus stops blindfolded to see how it was to be blind and waiting for a bus. And we saw the RTD vastly improve their service based on just that little training. So maybe we should pull out the blindfolds and get out the jaws of window eyes and let these people see how it really is.
Well, it seems like one time when I was going for a walk and I heard a bus go by, and I heard that telling the stops. I guess that nowadays some of the buses are audibly telling people where the stops are instead of having to ask the driver to tell you. Seems like in some of the buses these days they do tell you where your stop is, what streets they're coming to and things like that.
Hi, this is Cheryl from Miami, and I have three things, if I can sum them up. One is, I think I would like to see the committees that, the major committees and affiliates that form ACB, meaning like Friends in Art, CCVI, those sorts of things. I think it'd be interesting to have the chair featured of those committees, and that they would talk about what it is that they're doing currently and what would be going on in the foreseeable future, their goals. I think it's a way to let people who don't even know about ACB and what is really going on with it, I think it would give them some information. I think it also would give people who are involved in ACB maybe some inspiration to participate in some things. Maybe they don't, I don't think we really know all that goes on with those. That's A. B is, I would love to see some more external things. We had the fellow that talked about sailing once, and I think it was Gold Ball or however that is. Some things that have to do with activities and get us out of just thinking realm and getting into the doing realm. And the third thing would be in the spectrum of jobs, finding people who do maybe some odd or particular type things that maybe we would think not possible, and doing a broadcast with them, or maybe just the ordinary. So, I don't know. So those are my three ideas. Thank you.
Well, it seems like I do remember we did a show once about Gold Ball, and it was quite interesting. I don't know if I'd ever want to try it, but it sounds like it's an interesting thing that they do with that.
10:20 almost.
Thanks, Cheryl. Those are actually all very good ideas for Tuesday topics. Is there anyone else who has some final thoughts on Tuesday topics? If not, we'll try one more round of questioning on an entirely different issue.
Wait, one more thing. Speaking of that employment thing, we often have employment day where we grab our suits and go out with these resumes and we go into a round circle of employers. How about doing an online employment day where we invite the same type of employers that have big corporations? A lot of these companies have big corporations, and do a employment day online where we get a chance to talk to them and see what their obstacles are concerning why there's either very small percentages or no percentages of blind people working at their corporations and how we can bridge that gap. That would be fascinating to me.
That's a good idea, Johnny. I'm not sure I'd do it quite the way you would. I don't think we'd be able to corral a large number of employers to do the kind of online day that you're talking about. But I think it would be fascinating to get some employers who actually have employed blind people to come on to our Tuesday topic and talk about the pros and cons of hiring blind people. I would love to talk to an employer who has hired and retained some blind people, but who's also hired and fired some, so that we could get an idea of what enabled blind people to make the grade. So I think that's a pretty cool idea. Last shot for topic.
Unfortunately, this is Trevor from St. Louis. This is not so much a topic, but a comment to what you just said. Oftentimes, if blind people are able to find employment, it's a rather level grade with not much in the way of upward mobility. A friend of mine and I were discussing this the other day about how a lot of times blind people, even if they are able to find jobs, must content themselves with pretty much staying in that same job throughout the course of their career, unless they're willing to be the Superman of motivation in their world and in their universe, to try to make Herculean efforts to promote themselves to something even just a little bit higher than their current position. I think what Chris Rock says is really true in a lot of ways. Oftentimes the limit really is the sky, and that can really be a struggle for even the successfully employed.
A good point, actually, I think, Trevor. Many times my belief is that people who are blind put themselves in a position where they don't seek to move upward because they're a little frightened of it. And maybe what we need to be working on is how we can create opportunities within the rehab system that the idea exists. They're called post-employment services. But how we can make those post-employment services effective at enabling people who are blind to move up in the system. It would be a good idea perhaps to do a topic on post-employment. So what do you do if you're employed and you're stuck in the same job and you're getting tired of it? What kinds of options do you have, and how best should you respond and act?
Oh, also, I was also thinking, as the presidential process goes forward, I hear Mrs. Clinton has jumped into there. It would be great to see if we can get their ear, since they're vying for votes, and get some of those people in on a political reference to see what they say about what or how they would move their agenda forward along with a few of us.
Excellent. All right, let's go one more quick round. And let's just try asking one final question. And that question is, think of someone who you think would be a cool guest for Tuesday Topics. You don't need to have all their information, but just for fun, think of someone you know or someone you'd like to know more about who you think would make a great guest for Tuesday Topics. And let's just really quickly go around and have people in 30 seconds or less tell us a little bit about who that guest might be.
Well, I think probably, even though it was done somewhere else, I think probably an interesting guest might be Marlena Lieberg.
Why, Gary?
Well, I don't know. I thought because she has a lot of things that she has done interesting in life, and she has a lot of interesting things to say about different things.
Thank you, sir. Next.
Johnny J here from Denver. Stevie Wonder, he owns a radio station called KJLH in LA, and I would like to know, is the station really owned and operated somewhat by him, or is his name is on the radio station and he has nothing really much to do with it? But that would be something that I would want to know, an entrepreneur in the blind community.
Stevie Wonder has certainly been on ACB Radio. I don't know if he'd come on Tuesday Topics and talk, but that's certainly a good idea. Anicio Correa, whose mic is not working this evening, has suggested somebody I would love to get on, and I think we can. And in fact, I'll be seeing her in a few weeks, and I will ask her if she'll do a program. And her name is Karen Wolf, and she works for the American Foundation for the Blind and is responsible for supervising the Career Connect project. So I think Karen would be a good person to have on to talk about transition and employment and careers and Career Connect and some other things as a guest. So that's a good idea, Anisha. Thanks.
Paul, I was thinking maybe somebody from the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, CNIB, about our new endeavor here in the library in Toronto. They've just gone completely digital.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. In fact, I may see Rosemary Cavanaugh, who is librarian of CNIB, in a few weeks as well. So I think I can ask Rosemary if she might consider coming on to the program to talk about that. And I think just getting an idea of what another country is doing, Timothy, is actually a good idea. And I was also thinking that it might be nice to get somebody like Jim Sanders on to talk just in general about what CNIB is doing and how different services for blind folks are in Canada.
This is Trevor from St. Louis, and this is a bit of an unusual guest idea, but I've been wanting to find out a lot more lately about what makes Spain work so well. For those of you who don't really know, the Spanish blind people over in the country of Spain have the employment figures that we wish we had, and many of them are employed as distributors of the Spanish lottery. And the Spanish lottery has always been termed as the blind mafia, because it really was started by blind folks and has really turned into a lucrative business idea for them, and really a cultural springboard from which successfully employed blind folks have emerged. And I'm just curious about finding more information about that.
That's actually an excellent idea. The Spanish Blindness Organization is a fascinating organization in that, as you suggest, it's really quite huge and is self-sufficient and is actually large enough that it's actually entering into partnerships with entities like Microsoft, which a lot of our organizations in this country wouldn't be able to do. So, again, very good idea. Thanks.
I think a real good one would be, this is a topic, but someone who is very involved in the Braille issue about literacy and where electronic Braille's going, and how the figures about how many people learn Braille still because of public schools and the difficulties they have there trying to get teachers to teach it and keep children learning it.
Actually, that's a really good idea, Liz. Thanks very much. Brian Charlson and I have some fairly different ideas on what literacy and blind people are all about, and one of the things that we will probably do within the next 2 or 3 weeks is a program on precisely that topic, on the topic of what does literacy mean for blind people, and it will be by way of a debate between Brian and myself. I'll win, but Brian will give it a good shot.
Yeah, because I think that is a very strong thing that's starting to really happen. The schools are taking out, people are graduating that won't be able to get good jobs because they can't read.
Well, if that's what we mean by literacy, and it's going to be an interesting topic. I think the whole idea of the future of Braille is fascinating. I've run across some studies recently that absolutely shocked me, and I think some of the information about those is worth sharing. In fact, I'm in the middle of writing an article for the BRL newsletter. So we'll see how that goes. final ideas for a guest?
Paul, I have an idea. I don't have a person in mind, but I'd like to find out about information about how people go about testing the new products that come out for the blind and how they go about, you know, working their way into the companies to you know, do that kind of thing, because I'm always interested and I always wanted to learn how to test new products.
That's actually interesting, and there are two ways we could take that topic. One of them is the American Foundation for the Blind has a technology center, and that technology center actually is doing a good deal of testing, as is the tech center at the National Federation of the Blind headquarters in Baltimore, so it might be fun to get those two entities represented. But the other thing that occurred to me when you talked about that was it really might be interesting to talk with some of the entrepreneurs in the field of blindness products, people from Independent Living Aids or SLS or IRTI, about how it is they choose products, where do they find out about them, what are some of the things that we can look for on the horizon, and maybe what are the things that we can do to try to give them an idea of the kinds of products that we actually want. That's, again, an excellent idea, Melanie. Thank you.
Paul, you know, Ed Potter has put out the Playback magazine for, 150 years, maybe not quite, but he might be an interesting one to talk about how he has seen technology change since the late 70s when Playback started, and kind of take it from a different angle since he's not really a computer user, but he might be an interesting one for a guest sometime.
I think he'd be fascinating. That's an extremely good idea. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll give you one more shot at a burning guest. Otherwise, we're going to wind things down this evening.
Paul, a short question. Do I understand that we have a lot of people who are musicians? And if so, a good idea would be to talk to a person. I was thinking of Ronnie Millsap, because he's been out there so long, and in the pros and cons of being a musician and all the things that he's had to overcome.
This is Trevor from St. Louis. I love Ronnie Millsap. I love him. His music is fabulous. He's one of the greatest guys, I think, that I've ever heard sing a song. But he tends to be rather slow in the way he communicates, and I don't know.
Well, another... that was one that I was thinking about having would be Ronnie Millsap would be an interesting thing, and maybe build around the idea of blind musicians and things of that nature. And then another fellow that I thought about too that might be interesting would be like someone like Jonathan Mosen. He started ACB Radio, and it'd be interesting to hear what he had to say. I mean, how he came up and then through his career and everything that he's done, maybe that would be a good Tuesday Topics interview.
Getting a established musician such as Millsap might be a scheduling nightmare and very difficult to do. There is a young lady, I think she's around 20 or 21 years old, Jessica Callahan, who is coming out with a smooth jazz CD, I believe in May or June. It's her first release. Someone like that that's fairly new, breaking into the music business in this day and age, might have some pretty interesting stories to tell.
Actually, that's a good idea, and I think there are some other musicians who are out there who are blind musicians and who are established. My wife Cheryl's brother is a pretty established musician out in the Washington State area. And I think to get two or three musicians who are playing regularly, there's a guy called Jeff Zabak who's got a couple of CDs out from down here in Miami, who is a flutist and a saxophone player as well, I think, and he'd be fun. So there are some, I think there are some really good people we could choose from and do a whole panel on being a musician, which I think would actually be kind of a cool idea. That's a very good idea. Ladies and gentlemen, we are winding towards the end tonight. I'd like to express my deep appreciation to everyone who turned up tonight and helped us turn crisis into coolness. Our program tonight, helping to get to know the people who were around Tuesday Topics a little better and helping to explore some ideas for future Tuesday Topics, I think has been a worthwhile and exciting program. It's certainly given me as host lots to think about over the next few weeks. I appreciate everybody turning up. Invite you to join us next week and hope that we can often find you lurking around the area of Tuesday Topics on ACB Radio, the voice of the blind community.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday, 1 hour Universal Time. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. The first time you enter the chat room, the software will automatically download and install on your computer. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each show begins, those online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room service and how it works. An announcement promoting the topic to be discussed will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends list early each week. So we hope you will come and join us Tuesday each week when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. Again, the URL is ourplace.acbradio.org.